Good Tuesday. Today is January the 13th, and you're listening to My Farm. Well, more going on in the saga of railroad mergers as the Surface Transportation Board has to take a look at the application and other railroads and industry groups protesting that the application is not accurate. We're going to take a look at the details and what it means after this message from our sponsor.
Sponsored by Seed Consultants, simply the best value in the seed industry. Learn more at seedconsultants.com.
Taking a look at your agricultural headlines, an interesting twist in the proposed merger between Union Pacific and Norfolk Southern Railroad. Since the merger application by the two rail lines was filed with the Surface Transportation Board on December 19th of last year, comments have been filed with the Surface Transportation Board stating the application does not contain all the information required by Major Railroad Considerations, 49 CFR Part 1180, as required by the Surface Transportation Board, and therefore they say it should be rejected. Now, in various filings to the Surface Transportation Board, on December 29th, the Class 1 Railroads Canadian Pacific, Kansas City, Canadian National, CSX Transportation, and Burlington Northern Santa Fe stated in detail as to why the merger application filed is incomplete and needs to be rejected by the Surface Transportation Board. In addition, the National Grain and Feed Association also filed detailed comments. Now, Burlington Northern Santa Fe said that they identified a non-exhaustive list of issues in the application which bear on the procedural schedule to be entered in this case. Long procedural schedules will be necessary to allow the board and stakeholders to develop a complete evidentiary record and guard against sandbagging in the process, where Union Pacific and Norfolk Southern will likely try to remedially amend the merger package and expand their discussion of core issues. As submitted, the application fails to establish that the proposed merger transaction meets the public interest standard on the merits and cannot be approved by the board. Now, the Union Pacific and Norfolk Southern also commented on the National Grain and Feed Association's filing. National Grain and Feed Association's complaints do not demonstrate that the application lacks the information required to be accepted as complete under the board's rule, they said. They said the applicants appreciate National Grain and Feed's participation in this proceeding and its interest in the effects of transportation on the agricultural, shipping, and broader economy. The applicants look forward to a constructive dialogue, they said, with National Grain and Feed and its members as the process moves forward. However, they say none of the issues raised by National Grain and Feed bear on the completeness of the application. Where that leaves us now is that it's up to the Surface Transportation Board to go over the nearly 7,000-page application submitted by Union Pacific and Norfolk Southern with a fine-tooth comb and make sure it's complete or not under the Surface Transportation Board merger rules, regulations, and procedures. And the Surface Transportation Board adopted final regulations governing proposed rules for all major rail consolidations in July of 2001. Stay tuned. We'll be back with more after this message from our sponsor.
Williamson Crop Insurance, home of Decision Max. Decision Max allows you a simple solution to analyze your operation and make informed marketing and crop insurance decisions to mitigate your risks. Manage your whole operation in one place with the ability to blend counties, marketing, and insurance coverage to give a complete overview of your operation. Williamson Crop Insurance, protecting the Eastern Corn Belt since 1980. Learn more at cropcoverage.com.
Thanks, Joe. We're going to change directions now. Talk weather. You know, last year there were a number of significant weather events that took place. USDA's Rod Bain highlights some of the most significant.
What were some of the top weather stories of 2025? USDA meteorologist Brad Rippey tries to boil it down to 10, and in no particular order. He says January started the year with wildfires in California.
The Palisades and the Eaton fires, they had a relatively small geographic footprint, less than 40,000 acres. But when those fires had finished burning, unfortunately, they became the second and third most destructive wildfires in California modern history.
After the California fires, for the remainder of the year,
U.S. wildfire acreage in 2025, only around 5 million acres, and that compares to the 10-year average of 7.3 million acres. So we were just a little over two-thirds of average on the wildfire acreage for 2025.
A weather bookend December's atmospheric rivers and significant flooding in the Pacific coast states.
Western Washington bore the brunt of the December flooding that peaked on December 10th and 11th with record crests in portions of the Snohomish, Cedar, and Nooksack rivers, just to name a few. Tens of thousands were asked to evacuate, damage occurring both in farmland areas and residential communities.
While such storm systems and impacts move further south through the month, reaching Southern California by Christmas time. Next,
this is a little unusual because we're going to talk about something that did not happen in 2025.
No hurricane strikes on the U.S. mainland.
That was the first time that has happened since 2015, and that is in spite of the fact that we did see 13 named storms in the Atlantic Basin and 5 hurricanes.
Not to say close-passing tropical storms did not churn up surf and cause coastal damage on the Atlantic and Gulf Coast. Rippey says while no landfalling hurricanes reached our nation's mainland, there were still impacts.
We saw almost a dozen tropical storms and hurricanes prowling very close to the Mexican Pacific coast,
making up the southwestern U.S. monsoon season. Remnant moisture from Gulf-based tropical storm Barry
eventually drifted northward into Texas, interacted with moisture from the eastern Pacific, and that led to, or at least contributed to, the catastrophic flooding that struck Kerr County, Texas, and neighboring areas, leading to the tragedy that unfolded on the morning of July 4th.
Severe weather was rampant in the first part of the year, according to Brad Rippey.
There were at least a dozen billion-dollar severe weather outbreaks in 2025 that resulted cumulatively in more than $40 billion of damages. We saw at least 300 tornadoes apiece in March, April, and May, more than 250 tornadoes in June. And by the time we got through June, we had seen 24 fatal tornadoes across the United States, leading to 68 deaths.
That's what's making agricultural news on my farm. For my 102.7 WMYW, I'm Dusty Sonnenberg. You have a great day.